like to spot a breaking and entering.
Ah, in connection with what?
The syndicates.
Tell me more.
Time, this evening, place, the jockey club.
The jockey club? Can't you just walk in?
I want a quiet look-see without any of them knowing. I've been talking to a bent jockey, and he hinted at corruption in high places.
So we're turning out Eddie Keefe's office to see what bent operators he let through.
You got it. Sir Thomas Alliston, the senior steward, right? He says Eddie's been complaining about me seeing the files. And Lucas Wainwright can't show them to me off his own bat, so it's thieves in the night for us. Now, I'd like you to do a recce this morning. I've got the Admiral coming here for lunch, so I'll see you later. Cheers.
Cheers. Now, tell me, why here? Why not at the Candace as usual?
Evasive action. There's someone I don't want to see, and he won't look for me here.
Is that what it was when you vanished for those 6 days, evasive action?
Leave it, Charles.
So who is it you don't want to meet?
A man called Peter Ramillies.
Should I know?
Not if your luck holds. Anyway, how did you get on at the wax factory yesterday?
Ah, yes. Charming woman there. Check the order books. People rarely ordered as much at a time as Jenny had done. And only three stipulated that the tin should be packed in white boxes for posting. Three people, all in the last year.
Could it be Nicholas Ash three times?
Same amount each time. Different names and addresses, of course.
Which you brought away with you?
Which are on this piece of paper.
Ah. Got him. He is a fool, after all.
Looks like it. The police turned up looking for Ash themselves.
You didn't tell them about the mailing list?
No, I didn't. I want you to be the first to find him. You'll get your ex-wife. You'll get my daughter off the hook.
I can hear Jenny sobbing with gratitude.
I've done the recce, Sid. We're getting all right, providing you go through the main doors before 4 o'clock.
Right.
Two lifts, okay? One goes as far as the third floor, which the jockey club is on. The porter leaves that lift at the third floor for the night with his doors open so no one else can use it, right?
Yeah.
When he's fixed it, he goes down your actual stairs, locking a door across the stairway at each landing, three and all. You with me?
Yeah, so far.
Another lift, see, goes up to the top four floors where there's flats. Between these floors and the jockey club below, there's only one door.
Yeah, across the stairway, it's locked.
Yeah, as you say.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't cause you any trouble.
Try, there'd be plenty of trouble if we get caught.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think about that.
Well, get there early so it's not suspicious. Take the lift for the flats. Wait for me there.
Yeah, oh, I'll take a book. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, this is what I've done.
Not along here. Right, Edison Keith, security officer. Not locked.
Nothing to tempt your average burglar, anyway.
The filing cabinets and the desk drawers slid open with providential ease. In the evening sunlight, we read the reports on the extra syndicates Jaxie had told me of. 11 syndicates apparently checked and accepted by Eddie Keith, with Ramillies' two registered owner pals appearing on all of them, with no incriminating evidence. There was one odd thing, though.
Philip Friley's files are missing, all four of them. You sure they're not in the desk, Chico?
Yeah, absolutely positive. Right, sir? Indigestion tablets, pocket
cash. Yeah, okay. Oh, hello, here's a file we haven't tried. Personnel.
They won't be in that, that'll be employees.
M. Right, here we are. No, here we aren't.
Here you are.
The file on Mason.
Oh, they're much better, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's gone too. This is bloody frustrating.
Yeah, not our day after all, old son, that's clear.
Well, we'd better tidy up and be on our way. All he needs is to get caught now to really bring it to a fitting end. Assuming I survive, though,
yeah.
I think I'm going to take up an invitation.
You beauty. Do you want a whip, Sid?
No, I better not, Martin. I might drop it. Gammy hand.
Suit yourself. Make it a good run, though. It's Flotilla's last workout before the Dantic.
Are you sure about this?
Now, I wouldn't risk it if I had any doubts. Now, run him alongside young Albert on Gulliver.
Okay. Oh, God, don't let me make a mess of this.
You've got plenty of guts, Sid. I'll say that for you. Plenty of guts.
Bloody jockey, Sid Halley, that's what you are.
What's the matter with our buddy? Oh, would you have been riding Flotilla if I hadn't come along, eh? Oh, you'd better have to sulk your tunnel. Oi! Oh, you little son. Oi! It's not a race, you know! Oi, come back!
still ride, Sid, can't you? You look just the same. Pity you can't do the race for me as well as the practice run.
I know my limitations.
Whoa, steady, lad.
Oh, Martin, you've put new life in me. That is a lovely horse. You have got a winner there. Hey, thanks, pal, for the trust.
You've done me a favour. Come to breakfast.
Yes, he's here. Sid?
Who knows I'm in your office? Hello.
Sid, Henry Thrace.
What? This is a surprise.
My girl assistant saw you riding on the heath. Unmistakable, she said.
Oh.
I had a letter from the Jockey Club earlier this week asking me to let them know at once if Gleaner or Zingaloo died and not to get rid of the carcass. Signed by Lucas Wainwright. I rang him and he said it was really you who wanted to know if either of those horses died.
Lucas Wainwright said that, Henry.
Yes. Anyway, Gleaner has just died.
Oh, God, when?
An hour ago.
How?
We put him to cover a mare. As soon as he finished, he collapsed and died. What a way to go, eh?
Where is he now?
Still in the breeding shed.
Post-mortem, you would agree, wouldn't you?
Essential, I should say. Insurance and all that.
Yeah. I'll try and get Ken Armadale from the Equine Research Establishment.
Best possible choice.
Yeah. I'll keep him informed.
Fine. See you, Sid.
Yeah. Can I make a call myself, Martin?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I drove Ken Armadale to Henry's stud farm, and we followed the lorry to the knacker's yard. The horse was laid in a square room, on a concrete floor with runnels and a drain. Ken turned on a tap which sent water through a hose pipe to the horse. Then Ken made the appropriate incisions and carried the heart-lung mass over to the table.
This is odd, Sid.
Huh? What is?
His heart. Look at those valves. He died of something horses don't get.
God.
It's a great pity we couldn't have had a blood sample before he died.
Well, there's another horse Henry Thrace's, Ken, with the same thing. You could get your blood sample from him.
You'd better tell me what's up.
Yeah, fair enough. There were four horses, all from George Casper's stable and all hot favourites. And they flopped. All had a mild virus infection and all were afterwards found to have heart murmurs.
Who were the others?
Bethesda and Zingaloo. Marvellous horses. Bethesda was with Garbage, who died foaling.
You said four.
Did I?
Yeah, well,
Tri-Nitro.
He ran last in the Guinness.
Yeah.
That's what? 10 days ago?
What's the matter with them, Ken?
Gleaner here died from swine erysipelas, which is a disease you only get in pigs. Heat and exercise in that condition are lethal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's take the heart to the research centre. Pick up a sample of blood from Zingaloo on the way and look at some journals. I think I read an article that referred to a paper written in the 1940s.
Yeah. Look at it now I've cleaned it up.
There, yeah, the valves.
It's like cauliflowers.
Exactly. That's vegetation. It prevents them from closing. Makes the heart about as efficient as a leaking pump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put this in the fridge, and then we'll look at those veterinary journals for that paper. Open the door for me, will you? Thanks. There. Now then, that article. Keep them around here somewhere. In one of these. No. Ah, yes, here it is. Swine erysipelas. In 1938, occurred in a horse with vegetative endocarditis, the chronic form of illness in pigs.
Ah, the cauliflowers.
Right. During 1944, a mutant strain of erysipelas rusiopathiae appeared suddenly.
Excuse me, can I have it in English?
You inject the serum horse with pig disease, wait until it develops antibodies, draw off blood, and extract the serum. That serum, injected into healthy pigs, prevents them from getting the disease.
Yeah, like giving us cowpox to ward off smallpox.
Quite so. Now, what happened was that instead of growing antibodies as usual, the horses themselves got the disease.
Well, how could that happen?
It doesn't say here. You'd have to ask the pharmaceutical firm, the Tearson Vaccine Laboratory at Cambridge. I know someone there, if you want an introduction.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Ken, the lethal injection couldn't have occurred accidentally, could it?
Absolutely not.
But nobody could have got within screaming distance of tri-nitro with a syringe full of live germs.
Now, you wouldn't need a syringe full.
one little envelope.
Well, what's that?
A capsule attached to a hypodermic needle.
Well, it's only about as big as a pea.
It's all you need.
You hold it in your hand, out of sight.
And just slap the horse with it. Dead simple. Shove the needle in and squeeze.
Can you spare me one?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks.
You know, we might be able to do something about trinitrate.
Well, how do you mean?
We might find an antibiotic which would cure the disease, providing it's not too late. Now, if trinitro was infected, say, a couple of weeks ago, the vegetation won't have started. He might make a full recovery.
You mean back to normal?
I don't see why not.
Ken, you are a genius. Come on, what are we waiting for?
When I allowed myself to think about it, I was appalled at what I'd let myself do. The news of my attendance at Gleaner's post-mortem would be given to George Casper within a day, but worse. Somehow or other, Trevor Deansgate would hear about it. I decided that the sensible thing would be to get the hell out, travel abroad, while I still had one useful hand. But I did the stupid thing instead, and went to Tearson Pharmaceuticals. I was greeted by Mr. Livingston and taken into his laboratory.
Now, Mr. Halley, ask your question.
How did the serum horses the lab used in the 1940s get swine erysipelas?
Carelessness. Sheer carelessness. Should never have happened. Do you know anything about the production of erysipelas antiserum?
You could write it on a thumbnail.
Ah, then I'll explain. They inject live erysipelas germs into a horse. The horse's blood produces antibodies to fight the germs, but the horse does not itself develop the disease. You with me?
Yeah, so far.
Now, sometimes the standard strain of erysipelas becomes weakened, and in order to make it virulent again, we pass it through pigeons.
Pigeons?
Standard practice. The live, virulent germs were transferred from the pigeons onto dishes containing blood, where they then multiplied, producing a useful quantity for injecting into serum horses.
Okay.
Now, the blood on the dishes was bull's blood, but owing to someone's carelessness, the blood agar plates were prepared one day with horse's blood. This produced a mutant strain of the disease. Well, no one realized what had happened until this strain was injected into the serum horses, and they all got erysipelas.
Yeah. Now, what happened to this mutant strain?
We would have some, I dare say, as a curiosity.
Would there be any of it anywhere else in the world besides here? I mean, did this laboratory send any of it out to anywhere else?
I've no idea. You could ask my assistant, Barry Shummock. He'd know. Mutant strains are his speciality.
Shummock, did you say?
Have you heard of him?
No, not him. I did know a Shummock, vaguely. It's an unusual name.
Yeah.
Does he have a brother?
Well, yes, he has. A bookmaker. Terry. No, not Terry. Trevor. They come here together sometimes. Thick as thieves. The brother goes under a different name now, I believe. Well, wouldn't you if you were called Shummock?
Yeah, very likely.
I'll get Barry for you.
No, I know. Please don't bother him. He'll be busy and, I've got to go myself. I've got what I came for.
Oh, all right.
Hey, thanks very much for the information, Mr. Livingston.
My pleasure, Mr. Halley.
A real neat little job, that, Sid. It's been made resistant to all ordinary antibiotics.
Well, how do you mean, Ken?
Well, if any old antibiotic would kill it, you couldn't be sure the horse wouldn't be given a shot as soon as he had a temperature and never develop the disease.
So how do you make it resistant?
Feed it tiny doses of antibiotic until it becomes immune.
Do you have a cassette recorder here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Here you are. You can use the tape that's in. Just talk. See?
I was just thinking.
It has a built-in microphone.
Ken, can you sit down? I need a witness.
This is important.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay. Here we go. This is Sid Halley at the Equine Research Establishment on Monday, May the 14th. There follows an account of my investigation.
Chico Barnes?
Chico, success. The horses had a pig disease.
Get off with you.
Oh, that's true. That big bookmaker, Trevor Deansgate, he's got a brother who works in a place that produces vaccines, and they cooked up a plan to squirt pig germs into those red-hot favourites.
Was Julie lost while the bookmaker raked in the lolly?
Right. But the brother's name is Shummock. and I remembered that Shamut was Trevor Deansgate's real name. The Deansgate is very fit with George Casper, and all the affected horses came from George's stable.
Right.
That's a job for security service from this point on, I think. Will you bring your cassette player to the Jockey Club tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock? I've got an interesting tape for them.
Shall do. Well said, mate. This is results day all round. I've got a fix on Nicky Ash.
You've got a begging letter?
Yeah, we sure have. Two sent in by people whose names start with P.
Great. Hey, P for persistence rewarded.
Right. They're exactly the same as the ones your ex-Jenny had, except for the address to send the money to, of course. You got a pencil?
Yeah.
Right. 13, Shepherd's Avenue, Clifton, Bristol.
Clifton, Bristol. 13, eh? Yeah, well, he's pushed his luck this time.
Job for the police?
No, not yet. I want to pull this one off myself, with a little help from a certain witness.
You're awfully clever to find him, Sid.
Persistence. Yeah, and Chico's legwork.
My God, there's money around here.
Mm. Friend Nicky, you won't be able to place them.
Shepherd's Avenue. Hmm? Turn here. 9, 11, 13. Of course, he may not show up for ages.
I knew there was some reason for us bringing our overnight bags. You are happy about that, Louise, aren't you?
Ecstatic.
Well, in the meantime, you can tell me your life story up to the point where you left my ex-wife's flat and set up on your own.
Can we have the windows open first, Sid? It's like being in a microwave.
Sure.
My goodness, Sid, there he is. Coming out of the side door. Look. Out time, too. Casanova himself, eh? Right, my lad, we'll have a permanent record, shall we?
Gotcha. Arlo, who's that with him? The last of a long line of Jennies, I expect.
They're coming this way. Hmm? Sid, he'll recognise me. Nicky will recognise me.
What if you kiss me?
Do it.
That was close. Hey, another pick for luck.
And Sidney Halley calmly returns to business.
Oh, no, I'm quite shaken, actually. Do you know who he most reminds me of?
No.
Myself. The self that attracted Jenny.
You're not jealous of him, are you?
No, Louise. No. Not now.
Well, he doesn't remind me of you. I suppose now that we've seen him, we needn't stay overnight.
Needn't we?
Let's find a hotel.
Single room or double?
What do you think?
Oh, that was a meal and a half. No mistake.
It was wonderful. I didn't imagine we'd finish up in a place like this. I thought some motel.
Yeah, why should the Yankee tourists have the best of everything?
Why, indeed.
Does it revolt you to look at my arm?
Of course not.
You just seem to be staring.
I was remembering how skillful you were with it at the dinner table, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold my hand. Hey, come on, the other one.
Sid.
Touch it, feel it. That's metal inside there. There's gears, levers, electric circuits. Come on, press harder, you'll feel them.
It's amazing.
Yeah, actually, if I unscrew it firmly several times, the whole hand will come right off at the wrist. I'll show you.
No! Sid, you were testing me.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
You pig.
Let's go to bed. Louise.
Mm-hmm.
You awake?
Mm.
How do you feel?
Incredible.
You? Ah, peace with the world.
You were so gentle. Not what I expected at all.
Rampant bull isn't my style.
Sid.
Sorry.
You don't normally sleep with this on, do you?
No.
Take it off, then. Take off your false arm.
No, love.
Please.
Hey, don't push me.
Jenny's right about you being flint when you make your mind up.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about her.
Something's puzzling me. Why didn't you want the curtains drawn last night? Don't you like the dark?
No, I don't like sleeping when my enemies are up and about.
What enemies? I thought you were at peace.
Yeah, I was. For a while. Let's get up, shall we?
We went back to Oxford and I took the film to be developed. I told Louise I had to be in London by 4 o'clock. She asked me when I was going to go to the police about Nicky Ash. I told her the day after tomorrow, Thursday, when I come to pick up the photos. I would see her too when I returned to Oxford. Meanwhile, Chico and I had business in Portman Square.
Come in. Ah, Sid, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. This is Chico Barnes, who works with me. Chico, Sir Thomas Alliston.
Mr. Barnes.
Pleased to meet you.
Right, Sid, now you're here, we'll get Lucas Wainwright and the others along. You can bring the gentleman through now, Francis.
May we borrow this table, sir?
Surely.
Over there, I think, Chico. The table's for your recorder. And here's a cassette. I'll tell you when to play it.
Good morning, Sir Thomas.
Morning, Lucas. Ah, come in, gentlemen.
Good morning, Thomas.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Take a seat. There should be enough chairs.
Sid, Lucas.
Sid, come over here. Sit next to me. Well, Sid, here we all are. Now, on the telephone yesterday, you told me you had discovered how trinitro had been novelled for the Guinness. And, as you see, we're all very interested. So, fire away.
Gentlemen, I've put it all on tape. You'll hear two voices. The other is Ken Armadale from the Equine Research Establishment. I asked him to clarify the veterinary details, which are his province, not mine. This is my assistant, by the way, gentlemen, Mr. Barnes.
Mr. Barnes.
Let it run then, Chico, please.
This is Sid Halley at the Equine Research Establishment on Monday, May the 14th. There follows an account of my investigations into the circumstances.
Out it all came. The identical symptoms of all four horses, the lost races, the bad hearts. My request via Lucas Wainwright to be informed if any of the three still alive should die. The post-mortem on Gleaner, how horses had come to be injected by a disease of pigs, the mutant strain produced at the Tearson laboratory. All explained at every stage by Ken Armadale. There were frowns of concentration on the listeners' faces, but their expressions changed from surprise to shock when my spiel changed from revelation to accusation. To me, it felt like committing suicide.
As to motive and opportunity, we come to a man called Trevor Deansgate. The real name of Trevor Deansgate is Trevor Schumach. There is a research worker at the vaccine laboratory called Barry.
Just a minute, Sid. Let's have that bit again.
We come to a man called Trevor Deansgate. The real name of Trevor Deansgate is Trevor Schumach. There is a research worker at the vaccine laboratory called Barry Schumach, who is his brother. The two brothers have been seen there together on several occasions. This is where the mutant strain originally arose. Trevor Deansgate stood to make a fortune if he knew in advance that the favourites couldn't win. He had the means, the disease, the motive, money, and the opportunity. Entry as friend and client to George Casper Stables. It would seem, therefore, that there are grounds for investigating his activities.
Well, incredible. What do you think, Lucas?
I think we should congratulate Sid on an exceptional piece of work. Sir Thomas, may I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you really think, Sid, that Deansgate infected those horses himself? Surely he couldn't produce a syringe near any one of them. Let alone all four.
No, not a syringe, but he could produce something like this. No, please, look. You secrete it in your palm. You give the horse a friendly slap. In goes the needle, and in go the germs.
Well, seems pretty convincing to me. What do you think, gentlemen? Well, if there are no more questions, that'll be all then for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
sir. Thank
you, sir.
Chico. Thanks,
mate. Dynamite, man. Quiet, hey, mate.
Can I have the cassette, please?
Oh, sure.
Sir Thomas? Please, right. Take this.
Thanks, Sid. You amaze me. I've always thought of you as a jockey at heart, still.
Well, I'm not. I've kicked that daydream. I'm an investigator and nothing else, and from this time forth...
I've taken you too lightly. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Sir Thomas. Sid, do you have any plans as to what to do next?
Oh, talk to the Caspers, Lucas. I thought I might drive up to Newmarket tomorrow.
Good idea. Do you mind if I come? It's a matter for the security services now, of course.
And for the police, eventually.
I'm afraid.
Well, I thought we'd go about 9. That suit you, Lucas?
I'll ring and tell George we're coming.
For better or worse, and I feared for worse, I had well and truly put the germs among the pigeons. A dire reckoning was still a distinct possibility. I wasn't even looking forward to confronting the Caspers.
In episode 4 of Whip Hand by Dick Francis, Sid was played by Mick Ford, Chico by Kim Durham, Wainwright, David Neal, Charles, Simon Carter, Ramillies, Andy Hockley, Rosemary, Patricia Gallimore, Ulliston, Jeff Searle, Armadale, David Van, Louise, Susan Sheridan, Martin England by Christopher England. Dramatised by Alan England, Whip Hand was directed at Pebble Mill by Philip Martin, and you can hear the final episode at the same time next Tuesday.